It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com, as the voice said. Scott Mitchell across from me, Alex Keery here. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio, joining us on the program as he does every week. Mitch, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Happy to be on with you, as always.
You must be like the rest of us who are watching the whole Big 12 thing and going, man, 2022, get over with, and let's get to 2023 for some BYU into the Big 12 action, because looking at those North and South division possibilities that have been floated out there, it seems so much more exciting, and conference play in a Big 12 that BYU is going into looks amazing in the setup that they have like this. Not that it's official, but it looks really good.
Yeah, it really does, and I think you're right that 2022 is going to be a year where I think, you know, there's going to be hope of maybe another 10-win season. I think a lot of fans would hope for that, but ultimately it's all just ramping up to the Big 12 Conference and getting ready for 2023 because, yeah, I mean, regardless of what division, how it shakes out, BYU fans got to be excited about the future prospects of the conference and to possibly have 2 years with Texas and Oklahoma too. That just kind of sweetens the deal for a few years for BYU. And there will be divisions in the basketball league as well. I remember Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, told me as much back in October that they would have divisions for basketball too. And I think you got to, in football, make it all about competitive balance. That's got to be the focus. Geography's got to go by the wayside. It's got to be an emphasis on making it as competitive as possible.
So I don't want to wish – you know, BYU's life away until they get past this next season. But what kind of things are happening, and what kind of things, has there been an improvement? Has there been a new strategy as far as recruiting and recruiting in a Power 5 conference? What's happening today with BYU that's actually helping and preparing them for when they ultimately get into the Big 12?
Well, I think behind the scenes, it's going to be about getting additional personnel and getting additional staff put into place. You know, at the beginning of this month, new contracts were signed for the assistant coaches with additional financial benefits and more money being pumped into the program. And I think that once they start seeing in 2023 that first year of 50% of the Big 12 revenue, which will be around about $19 million in year one, because they won't get a full share that first season, I think you're going to see more personnel added. But I think from a recruiting perspective, I think BYU is going to cast a wider net in the 2023 and 2024 recruiting cycles where, they're going to still stay with their base, LDS athletes locally in state. That's primarily where their 2022 recruiting class was. But I think you're going to see BYU get more active with some four-star recruits that, you know, will be willing to live the lifestyle of BYU. And that might be a tough ask, but I think BYU's got an attractive pitch right now with their on-field product offensively and the prospects potentially of being one of the top brands in the Big 12 Conference. I think that's got to be the goal for BYU, is that they go into a league that really has no clear-cut top brand after Texas and Oklahoma leave. And I think that's got to be the motivation for BYU is that they can try to catapult themselves to being one of those top brands in the Big 12 early on.
If Oklahoma and Texas, you know, end up, I mean, I don't know, does it look like they're going to get a couple of years out of those guys before they go to the SEC, or is it going to be, you know, an early buyout? How is that going to be treated? And if not, who does BYU want to look at as their quote-unquote rival going into a Big 12 sans Texas and Oklahoma?
Well, they're guaranteed to be there at least through 2022-2023 academic year. That's coming up this year. BYU won't be in it this way because, you know, the deadline for the opt-out before 2022-2023 was December 31st, and that's, you know, come and gone. And so Texas and Oklahoma got at least another year. I would imagine that there's a good chance it could be those 2 years, because you're talking upwards of nine-figure buyouts. With the TV grant of rights, they would have to forfeit all that money that has been accumulated, $39 million per year in grant of rights money. That is a lot of money, even for the Texas and Oklahomas that seem to have endless windfall of money. That's still a big price tab that they probably don't want to get out of as soon or as early as you would think. So I think there's a chance that maybe at least 1 year Texas and Oklahoma are in the same league as BYU. But, you know, I think that with the formation of these divisions, I think Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports made a good point. They should just center it around splitting Texas and Oklahoma, so then it can be business as usual when those programs leave for the SEC.
Speaking about divisions and splitting them up, where's the best place for BYU? What division and what kind of makeup of that division would be the most advantageous?
Yeah, I mean, I put up a piece on KSLSports.com with my kind of proposal, what I think the division should look like. And I think that every team in the Big 12 Conference needs to have a Texas presence. And I think also, too, for the Texas teams, they don't want to have all of those Texas programs in one division. I think it's important for the Big 12 Conference to have that entire state energized and excited about Big 12 football in this new iteration. And I don't think it would be a bad thing if there's a possibility of, you know, two Texas-based teams squaring off in the Big 12 title in Texas. So, you know, my proposal would be having the likes of, you know, a Texas Tech and TCU. TCU, because of the history from the days in the WAC and the Mountain West Conference, would seem like there could be a natural rivalry there between BYU and TCU. The fan base is already familiar with one another. So I think you put them in divisions. And I think you have also the chance, too, with the six legacy members of the Big 12 that have been there since 1996, split them up evenly, 3 and 3, split up the fairly new additions in TCU and West Virginia, and then you split up the four newcomers in BYU, Central Florida, Houston, and UCF, and I think that could create competitive balance. I think it could create a Texas footprint for everyone in the league on an annual basis, and I think that that is, to me, the kind of a recipe that would maybe help the league be in a position where they're being talked about in November. Because I think one of the fears is that you don't want to have a conference that's kind of like the Pac-12, where you're completely out of sight and out of mind in terms of the playoff picture heading into the final month of the season.
Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, joining us on Unrivaled. You can see that piece of his proposed kind of split of the Big 12 there on KSLSports.com. Mitch, what's the vibe, I guess, you know, is – I start looking at a team like Cincinnati, for example. UCF is kind of this way, and Houston. All those teams have potential. BYU also. All those teams have the potential to bring something football-wise and, to an extent, basketball-wise in the Big 12. The Big 12 in basketball is just is brutal. But, I mean, what's the reality of one of those four teams winning the Big 12 championship in the first even 5 years of their existence in the conference?
I think it's a very realistic possibility. I mean, Cincinnati is one of the best programs in college football. I don't think this is a comparable situation to when Utah transitioned to the Pac-10, Pac-12 now, or when TCU transitioned to the Big 12. These leagues, the money that they're investing into football already outside the power structure and the high level of performance on the field, I think this, they could step in and be competitive, because you don't have an Alabama or a USC or some just kind of Goliath brand that just is a stranglehold over the league. That's not there. So it's kind of just a clean slate. I think that's what makes the new Big 12 so fascinating is that not only are you adding new members, but it's this complete, you know, power structure could be completely reshaped. I think there's energy and excitement about Baylor football and Oklahoma State, where now they could be elevated and be the class of a conference. I mean, you're talking about programs that really haven't won much at all. I mean, Oklahoma State, it's slim pickings to find many conference championships in their history, because they've always been second rate to Oklahoma. Now they have a chance to be elevated and be one of the premier brands. Same with Texas Tech, who's always been kind of an afterthought in this current iteration of the Big 12 Conference. And these legacy brands are going to be hit by the bottom line in terms of financials, because the TV money is probably not going to be anywhere near the $39 million per year that they're getting right now with Texas and Oklahoma in the league. But I think that the excitement of having maybe more access to the playoff, if you go to a 12 team down the road in 2026 or whatever ends up happening, I think that bodes well for the Big 12 Conference. And I think these new members, because of their commitment at a high level in football already and the other sports, yes, I think they could contend right away. There's going to be years, though, where it's, you know, 5-7, 6-6, but man, that's still a much better proposition than being 8-4, 9-3 in a group of five league, or being
you're sandbagging over here, Mitch. I know it.
Yeah.
Just expect a couple of 5-7 years.
If you want Texas Tech to elevate itself, just get rid of Tech. Like the Tech part of Texas Tech.
It move
just,
to Austin.
I don't know.
Get out of Lubbock.
Texas, like, I don't know. I don't know a better word for Tech. But,
well,
yeah.
they've got it all figured. They've already got. They're all taken, Scott. That's the problem.
Hey, Mitch, do you give a rabbit's foot about spring football? And I know the dates are coming up with that. What does spring football mean at BYU?
Yeah, I mean, definitely very interested in spring football this year. Starts up February 28th, and I think obviously the big story is going to be
February.
Wow. Yeah, into February. I think the big story, obviously, for BYU will be the running back spot, you know, replacing Tyler Allgeier. Get a first look at Cal grad transfer Christopher Brooks and, you know, what he can be. I think everyone assumes that he's going to be RB1, but I wouldn't completely sleep on the thought of Jackson McChesney or Miles Davis pushing him in that spot, in that race. I think it's going to be some competitive depth in that running back battle. But I also think defensively, too, some of the position battles there, maybe in the secondary, and also in some of those linebacker spots, while, you know, Peyton Wilgar still recovering from surgery and Keenan Peely's working his way back, who are some of those, like, next, you know, tier of guys that could be ready on a moment's notice if you have to dig into that depth. So, yeah, spring football will be valuable. It's going to be more teaching than actual contact now with these new NCAA rules that got passed today, where you're going to see less contact. It's going to be less tackling. It's going to be more of a teaching sort of deal in spring football these days. But make the game safer. But yeah, BYU, there's going to be a lot of expectations, and again, it's just it's another element to building up, another phase of building up to the Big 12 Conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that all three of the teams here in the state had big enough years that people are going to be looking at spring ball more closely than they do most years. I mean, certainly we're all going to be looking at that Utah roster and going, who do they pick up? How are these guys looking? You're going to be looking at Utah State going, can they stay in that same spot that they are? And BYU, this is the part where when you win, everybody wants to talk about you the whole year and not just in the fall. So did they have the schedule? What dates are important that BYU fans should kind of start marking down on the old calendar?
Well, February 28th is the first practice date, and then it concludes March 25th. That's also going to coincide with pro day for guys like Tyler Allgeier to compete in front of NFL scouts. No word on if there will be an open practice or a spring game. It hasn't happened the last 2 years for fans to witness something like that. So no word on that yet. Hopefully there's a chance, though, that fans can go into Lavelle Edwards Stadium and see the team compete in open practice. I know they were going to have it last year, but they ended up taking it indoors due to weather. So hopefully there's an opportunity like that for fans coming up in March. But, yeah, we're just around the corner from seeing BYU hit the field again for a four-week stretch of spring practices.
Mitch, we're looking forward to all of that. We're going to talk to you more, of course, as the basketball season goes along as well. Thanks for being on the program with us. We'll talk to you again, man.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take care.
There you go. Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. Best in the market when it comes to BYU coverage, I think.
Well, I'm glad that it gives a rabbit's tail about spring football.
Is it rabbit's foot or rabbit's tail? We're getting all of our
switching it up.
Mixed animal metaphors here.
I'm giving a bunch of mixed messages.
We're going to take the break here. When we come back, we've got more to talk about here. We've got a what are the odds around the corner you don't want to miss. I've got some questions about the Baseball Hall of Fame, which normally we wouldn't necessarily care about, but I'm going to throw it out there on the what are the odds. You're going to want to look. There's Utes, there's Cougars, there's Jazz, there's NFL, all part of what are the odds. Next, stay with us on Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone of the Zone Sports Network.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.